time travel. The day I started eating only potatoes, I started taking pictures of myself every morning. I'm a shitty photographer, but right after I weighed myself, right before my shower, I banged out about 20 pictures in the bathroom mirror. I continued that every day until I hit my target weight 86 days later. I just snapped pictures as I turned my fat ass in the mirror. I took 1,648 pictures in my underwear between December 9, 2014 and March 5, 2015. I pushed hard for this book to be a flip book, but Simon & Schuster wanted words and shit. If movies hadn't been invented by a frog magician, this here magician would have invented them right now, and the man would have stepped on that too. But you take your own pictures, mount them in your own little book, and riffle one way to lose the weight, and riffle the other, and you go back to being a fat fuck right before your eyes. That's what I do with pictures in the privacy of my home. Magic. I wasn't planning on doing a book when I first started taking those pictures. I was just planning to eat potatoes and try to stay out of the hospital. I didn't need pictures to keep track of my weight loss. I had my magic withing scale, which not only kept track of every tenth of a pound, but also ratted me out instantly to Cray Ray. He still gets my weight sent to him every time I step on the scale. Maybe I should have sent it to L. Ron Hubbard, too. I tell all my friends who want to ease on down the Cray Ray Road that they should take a lot of pictures, and they should take them as close to naked as possible. There are way too many pictures of me already. I have professional photo shoots all the time, and people snap a few hundred pictures of me every night after our show. I am well documented. But I still wanted underwear shots every morning during my rapid weight loss so I could go back and watch it later. The future is here, man. We still dream about time travel, but we already have it, and it's getting better all the time. The usual science fiction rules for time travel are that you can go back in time and see and hear everything, but you can't do anything to change it. That's a pretty good definition of video. Now there's video of everything all the time. But even back when I was little, my brother-in-law had a Super 8 camera. My sister was much older than me. And I have some video of me as a preteen running around with my family. I don't watch it often, but when I do, it gives me the exact sweet melancholy I would expect from time travel. But I can't kill Hitler or buy Microsoft. With everyone carrying a full studio with them all the time in their phones, people in the real future are going to be able to recreate whole cities by merging together GPS and timestamp pictures and video from our time. They'll be able to virtually travel to Disney World at any second of the past and watch it stay exactly the same. I worry a little about the young adults of today. I worry that they aren't sexting quite enough and won't have enough naked pictures and porn video of themselves. I worry there is still too much false information about society's unnecessary stigma about sex. There's stuff in the news all the time about college students sexting, but still reports say that fewer than half of young adults are sexting pictures of themselves. I don't want to see pictures of young people naked. I'm old and I'm creepy, but I'm not that creepy. What I want is pictures of my friends and myself when we were 20. I want just what at least half of the young people are going to have when they themselves are old and creepy. The news sources I read, which are for old people like me, fret about young adults not understanding that when they post nude pictures of themselves, those pictures will never go away. That's a feature, not a bug. And fortunately, at least half of young adults know that. As David Bowie sang, "And these children that you spit on, they're quite aware of what they're going through. Changes. Have you been a hung American?" Even if that low scare number of almost 50% of young adult sexting pictures is accurate, I think and hope it's much higher, it means that within 40 years we'll have a Supreme Court justice with youthful sex pictures on the web. Old people worry that those pictures will come back to haunt them and ruin careers. What they don't seem to realize is that there's a better way to solve this issue, a way that doesn't involve fewer sex pictures. It's the same way. Society can simply stop punishing people for being sexual. We're working on solving the problem of people being punished for gay sex, not by teaching people to be sneakier about the gay sex they're having, but rather by society accepting gay sex. We can solve the problem of people ruining others' lives with nude and sex pictures of them by society deciding not to ruin people's lives for nude and sex pictures. Society needs to decide that nude and sex pictures are good things, not bad things. That's the future. Remember when that nude photo of Hillary Clinton at Yale turned up? Remember that made the news? Ha ha, goofy! The members of my generation who consider nude pictures a bad thing will be dead soon. That's not a threat. That's just time. The members of my generation who think they're a good thing will also be dead soon. The kids are all right. I'm a little too old to have great nude pictures and video of myself when I was 20 years old. I have a few Polaroids, but not enough. I have a picture of myself about 20 in cut-off shorts, as close as I got to Daisy Dukes, and I just love it. I'm a young, healthy hippie with hair down my back, a big smile, and a happy bulge in my jeans and none at my waist. I like to travel back to that time now and again. In the early mid-90s, I went to see genius actor, comedian, writer, buddy of mine, Paul Prevenza, in a production of genius actor, comedian, writer, musician, buddy of mine, Steve Martin's play, Picasso at the La Panagile. After the play, I was invited out with a bunch of people to have a cup of coffee and talk. I happened to sit now next to a beautiful woman, maybe about 50 years old. I introduced myself, and she introduced herself as Xaviera Hollander, the happy hooker. I'm exactly the right age to know that name immediately, even without the honorific. But to make sure, she reached into her purse, pulled out her wallet, and showed me a nude picture of herself at about 20 years old. "That's what I looked like," she said proudly. I have trouble telling this story with the right tone. I've told it to a lot of friends, and they see it as desperate, sad, even pathetic. I don't know how to make clear it wasn't like that. It was beautiful. She still looked great sitting next to me, and she showed me the picture with a big smile and a wink. She seemed happy with how she looked now, but she showed me a picture of an earlier her. It was one of the grooviest introductions I've ever gotten. I was a little embarrassed that I couldn't whip out a photo of my own and show her me naked at the same age. I was the one who was desperate, sad, and even pathetic because I did not have a picture. I deflected by bragging that I had an original pressing of her LP, Xaviera. I loved her sex stories on that record. Even liked her version of the Beatles' Michelle in a duet with Ronnie Hawkins. Now that we'd broken the ice, I busted her. On the recording, I think in the Hawkins duet, she had a line that I remembered as, "Whoever said all men are created equal never saw Bo Diddley in the shower." I was not going to take issue with Xaviera about the size of Bo Diddley's cock. Even Christopher Hitchens couldn't have won that argument. But I did think that she could have credited Thomas Jefferson with the all men are created equal thing. When I look it up, the web remembers it as a Ronnie Hawkins line that goes, "Abraham Lincoln said all men are created equal, but he never saw Bo Diddley coming out of the shower." Now, I'm willing to bet that Abraham Lincoln did say that, but I bet Abe credited Thomas Jefferson. Neither Abe nor Tom ever saw Bo Diddley coming out of the shower. Maybe Ronnie and Xaviera just didn't want to open that Jefferson was a slave owner can of worms. That led me to doing shtick for Xaviera about how Elvis Presley, during the chatter section of Are You Lonesome Tonight, says, "You know, someone said that all the world's a stage and each must play a part." It wasn't someone who said that. It was Shakespeare, you hillbilly piece of shit. But, of course, when Jolson recorded it years earlier, he couldn't bring Shakespeare to mind either. And Al wasn't a hillbilly. He was from Lithuania. Thomas, William, and Abe certainly never saw Bo come out of the shower. I met Mr. Diddley, but not in the shower. I can't speak to what Xaviera and Elvis might have seen of Bo, but she had great nude pictures of herself, and I sure hope there are some nudes of Elvis somewhere. He looked pretty different at 20 than at 42. My buddy Bob Corn Revere is a real, no-kidding First Amendment attorney. I love him. Bob was staying at my house in Vegas. We were chatting about John Stagliano, known in professional porn as Buttman. Bob was following John's obscenity case and wanted to meet him. I had met John a couple of times, so I called him up, and we all went out to supper together. Bob one-upped Xaviera. John was considering putting Bob in his legal team and asked Bob if he had a resume. Bob said something like, "It's probably easier to just go to the Supreme Court website and pull up some of the audio of my arguments there." "Ha ha, yeah, Bob. That beats 20-year-old naked pictures of yourself looking like Debbie Harry." We were talking about John's case. He had put out videos on the web that some crazy person in the Justice Department, who probably doesn't have pictures of himself naked at 20, thought were obscene. Whiskey, tango, foxtrot? It was milk enemas or something. This was the cheesy hill on which the U.S. government wanted to die. I was just listening to Bob talk about the legal points. But during the conversation, John mentioned that there was really very little money left in porn. Actors in porn used to make a lot of money. But although demand has gotten higher, supply has exceeded it. there wasn't a lot of do-re-mi. One could make pretty much the same money steaming soy milk at Starbucks as squirting it out one's ass on camera. I asked Buttman, why do the actors do it then? John's answer stuck with me. I think they want to immortalize their youth. I have a friend. She's in her 30s. She's wicked smart and a very successful lawyer. I like lawyers. The day she turned 18, she was in an Ivy League college setting the groundwork for law school. She was doing well and was known among her friends for being rather prudish. She wasn't a party person. She liked to study. A couple of weeks before she turned 18, she searched around the web. I guess she wasn't too distracted by Buttman's milk videos and found one of those barely legal type sites that features naked men and women who have recently hit the age of consent. Without anyone knowing, I found out much later, and I'm one of the few who knows, she got in touch with a pornographer and said she wanted a model. They offered her a few grand, and she had to get them a lot of paperwork to prove she was of age. She set up a nude shoot for the week of her birthday. She met the photographer in his studio, and they took hundreds of pictures. She had done the arithmetic and figured that without her name out there, and it wasn't, no one would ever be able to find those pictures to use against her, even if she ended up having the legal career she's having. That was decades ago, and there's been no downside. She's thrilled that she immortalized her youth. I have a son who is 9 years old and a daughter who is 10. I will not tell them to take nude pictures of themselves when they reach adulthood. I will not tell them to sext. As a matter of fact, we will reinforce all the stuff the school tells them about being careful about information on the web. It's still a new thing, and it's full of exaggerated dangers, but there's still dangers. Society has not hit the point where everyone they will ever work for will be okay with sexual pictures. They have to be careful, and I will explain that to them. But if they're listening carefully, and I have no evidence they have ever listened to me carefully, they might notice that while I'm telling them to be very careful, I'm not telling them not to do it. I'm not sure they should put milk up their asses on camera, but they might want to find a private way to immortalize their youth. I have turned this chapter around. I started out writing about how I wanted to time travel to when I was a fat fuck to see my progress, and now I'm making the opposite point about using pictures to immortalize youth. Yep, I'm glad I have pictures of myself when I started this diet, and I wish I had pictures of myself at 20 getting a milk enema, because that would be a great flip book.